That played a huge part. It changed my mentality on a lot of things. Because before then, I used to be very quiet, laid back, almost timid. And then I realized, what do Gofi do?
No, but,
you be timid.
You know, Gofi be timid. Maybe that's how people go.
Yeah, Nka. Anyway, welcome to another episode of the Janky Talks.
Maybe Janky Talks. Take two.
Welcome to another episode of Janky Talks podcast. And today we'll be talking about navigating the job market. And we have a special person with us. And we would like to introduce him. So we go do drum rolls or...
Ladies and gentlemen,
let's welcome...
Introducing...
Michael...
Monk Gyatso.
Ivy.
From China.
Hey, the latest one.
Hey, you go China, oh, they can shake.
So yeah, our boy is back from China. And when he came back, he brought a baby.
Where's she?
Hello, Monica.
The babe is on set, but then we can't take camera of the babe. But yeah, you guys should understand
babe.
That. Babe.
Hey.
Take shoddy counts.
Sometimes they go away, I don't know what I'm
saying. But yeah, welcome back.
Thanks, boss.
What one?
Everything cool.
Yeah, so Charlie, how was your trip?
The monk excursion.
See what it is?
It was... It was actually fun, you know.
Fun.
Yeah.
What type of fun did you have with it?
With a bee.
All kinds.
Yeah. With a bee.
Monk, you're supposed to like destroy. For cut your head and sense.
I cut my hair now. You know,
so you know shall we fight?
More small.
You know shall we fight? Yes.
So yeah. Since you are here, you'll be the one on stand up today. And what do you have for us?
Stand up,
from China.
Oh, we don't do that anymore.
Have you been here since?
You sit.
So, Charlie, what you get for us stand up?
What I've been working on, right?
Yeah.
Or like what I'm planning to do so far.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think for me, basically, like the theme for the year, trying to do less and then taking things slow, you know. It doesn't, on one hand, I feel like it doesn't even make sense because starting the year, everyone typically starts the year with a lot of plans to do, you know, like big banks, full speed.
Mm-hmm.
But then trying to take it slow, you know, but trying to take things slow. But then for me, I feel like it actually works and makes sense for me, you know, because over the past few years, I've realized that I've been doing a lot, almost everything I can, you know, do here and there, that type of thing. So from this year, I just wanted to take a step back, do less, but then actually do things that have high impacts than anything else.
That'd be hard. Mr. Influencer.
What do you mean, Mike Kamamo?
Maybe I'm all.
What do you mean,
Mike Kamami?
When did you?
Who just according to mom? Anyways, navigating the job market.
Job market.
Everybody here, they work, right? But then one thing that ran through my head, I think sometimes you can have the knowledge, but it'll be easy like that. I mean, you see the job posting, go through, apply, interviews, and then you just get a rejection email. Right?
You get reservation.
It'll be easy like that.
Yeah.
For me, I think me, I was fortunate enough at the beginning, right? Like I was saying in the previous episode. Right after taking the course, got opportunity, got some work, and I just, you know, started. And then I just switching careers from here to here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't know how the story has been for you, but okay, yeah, I think I know. How or what strategy do you use when it comes to job application? Maybe looking for the job, applying, and then getting to the interview process. So we'll look at the job strategy for finding the posting and all that and applying. Then we'll look at the interview stage later on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, where should I start? Well, normally, when you are starting out there, definitely there are projects that you need to work on to build your portfolio, right? For me, because I was mostly doing stuff on my own, like trying out projects on my own and also I was doing freelancing because I had like a full time. That was my engineering job. So for me, navigating the job market wasn't really a thing that was like on top of my mind because it was mostly freelance basis. And with freelancing, what I know about the freelance market is you need to be, like, people need to know what you are doing.
Okay.
So that when they have, like, an opportunity for you to work on a project, you're on top of their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been really helpful because there are times where people do reach out to me, not because they know me, but because they've seen my work. I remember one guy reaching out to me and was like, he remembers like the fact that he was looking for someone to fill this particular role and he saw my design. But then at that point, that was not their priority.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But then he recently saw a post of mine and was like, nah, this thing, we forgot back to him. So then he reached out just because I posted again and he saw it. Imagine I didn't post.
Yeah.
So for me, before that, like before when I actually switched to working like full time, freelance was my space when it comes to looking for jobs. But then with the applications, I said, no, self-evaluate yourself always. Just know yourself, where you are at this point. Try and see if there's any gap that you need to fill.
Okay.
Like read the job descriptions. And most of the time, you get scared by job descriptions. Me, you know, they scare me. Yeah, sometimes you read it and you realize maybe out of 10, maybe you take 6, you can still apply.
Okay.
Right? Because normally, sometimes if you be templates, they put for them. Oh, for real, like, true. Be templates.
Or charge
sometimes they don't really. So, until they get to actually see you display, like, show what you have, just apply because you don't know what will happen after the application. So normally that's how I go about it. I try and evaluate myself, know what I'm missing. Like I said, try and find a common thing between like some of these jobs. If you know you are lacking this particular skill, just give yourself time, learn it. If you need to take a free job to learn this particular skill, get one, do it, right? For me, it was work experience. So remember I told you about volunteering. They needed just me working in like this workspace thing. So then what I did was, okay, then make a do volunteer because that would prove to them that I can work in a like this work setup thing. So that's what I did 3 months to do and start applying it. Then I get a job. So yeah, it's about you most of the time evaluate yourself because that would actually help you know
where you're lacking in all that. Yeah.
Before you even start applying. And don't go broad.
For me, I think my experience was like Jeff. Right, where most of the jobs I've gotten have come from me putting myself out there. Because my first design job that I got, it was because I was putting myself out there. And I even asked if someone was hiring.
Okay.
And I was always like posting my work in the group chat back then, the Yozana group chat. And then, so when I asked, already, the person has seen my work a couple of times, so they already know what I can do, right? So I asked and then like, oh yeah, sure, I should just send them like an email, this and that. Then I went to meet the hiring manager and then that was how I got the job. I've also gotten like other jobs through that, even the one that Jeff was saying with the volunteering one, for instance, that's where we were back then. That one to the CEO of that place reached out to me because I posted a work and you know, she saw it and she was like, oh, this is nice, blah, 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 and we got to talking. And then, yeah, from talking, it led to one thing, you know, one thing led to another, and then start working there. But then for, like, actual, you know, application process and all that, not so
you
much. But then,
that.
Most of my stuff, I've just come to put myself out there.
You have a full-time role, right? So you went through the application process. Okay, so look at that. You do look nice, though.
Yeah. Hey, gang shit.
What's the story, this guy? You forget the question. I knew it. What a.
I should say I'm a challenge said it.
Oh, God. Please repeat your question for
how did they navigate the job? How? How should they start?
Yeah, how should they start?
Yeah, I mean, contrary to what they said, me, basically all the jobs I get, me, I find out.
You find out.
I apply, Takashi, I get out. And me, what helps me is that I'm very good at interviewing. So, yeah, I talk. Don't bother yourself giving an interview. Because if you give it to me, I'll get a job. Right. But yeah, me, it's mainly finding the job, applying. Right. I never really get job through like referrals. Yeah. I mean, people refer, but most of the times, it's not something I'm interested in.
Yeah. And when it comes to the finding, what should you look out for in terms of, you know, definitely there's a requirement and responsibility what you have to do and all that. And then how do you match that with where you are?
With where I am?
Yeah.
Yeah, me, how do I even say this? I can apply to any job at once, right? I know I don't really bother whether I am there or I'm not there.
Okay.
Right. I go see staff designer for Microsoft. I just apply. I just apply. And I don't know if I told you this, but I actually, this close. Well, not this close, but I always got into Microsoft.
Because, of, show you the because of that strategy.
Oh, my phone is there. This was when I left. This was just, and that was one of the things that influenced me to leave.
Yeah.
I was going to do the interview, but then the full time for the room. Then that was when the layoffs. So yeah, it was good that influenced it because like, why did I do Microsoft? Because I'm very good at interviewing. But yeah, me, if I can call it balls, like, I don't care. You can write 20 years of experience. Ah, the Goldman Sachs thing that, it's just 7 years plus of experience.
You don't get to apply.
I go apply. You slack give me the interview. You slack give me the interview. Ah, it's
over. Because
I just know how to go about interviews.
Okay.
Right. So yeah, me, a lot of the things, me now find them.
Interesting. Well, me, we a blend of both. Hard jobs to refer. I said, usually that one, there's nothing like click and view all. Most of the time, quick. And I think there are times where I had to apply. I think I can't show, I had to apply, go to the interview. And I'll say that was like my very first formal interview, if I should say. And funny enough, I think if you remember, we recorded an episode of our interview, like when we started. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah,
so I applied most of the things we shared. Because I remember the interview I did with your people when I was on campus. Some remember. Mm-hmm. Oh boy. Pressure. Because I was not prepared. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know much. I was still on campus and all that. So after that, I think we recorded the episode, learned a few things from you guys, and then I applied. Yeah, so for me, I've been on both sides. This one, they will go to the man that's good with interviews before we come to the portfolio side. Because we should look at the portfolio first. No, interview first. Because it's important. Because I got a job without a portfolio. So, yeah, the interview part. What in the job market, right, in terms of product design, what is like the standard number of interviews you go through and like the stages for you from your.
For me.
From where you. Yeah. Hey, more than two. Hey.
No, they can't still. So, wait, the most amount of interview rounds I've been through. So like five.
So you went through five stages.
Yeah.
Before you got a job.
I mean five, six. So six in a sense that so when I applied for this role, I applied. Then the person started interviewing via text.
Okay.
And the reason was that they wanted to like written communication skills is most important because it's a remote team, you have to communicate via Slack.
Okay.
So like how to communicate, if you can communicate in writing, that's one of the key requirements they are looking for.
Okay.
So, see, in an interview, they'll ask you, like, how did you go about user testing and everything, and how to write it. Right. So, it's not like speaking, you have the freedom to use.
Yeah.
Like, writing has to be concise, there has to be a lot of clarity in there. So, I had to write it and explain exactly how I went about the interview. So, that was like the first one. And then I jumped on the call with the person. So, the second one, before take home assignments,
What was the second one?
We were just chatting. Okay. And then through that, I got the take-home assignments.
Okay.
I forgot exactly what we talked about, but he mentioned, okay, this is the assignment, go do it. So after the assignments, jumped on the call, did three. and we reviewed, go back to me, and I had to jump on a call. I had a call with their CTO. That's four.
Mm-hmm.
And the CTO one and the another PM, that's mm-hmm. five. So those ones are like more culture fit.
Oh, okay.
So they're trying to see if you actually fit within their system.
Okay.
It's not just about you knowing the technical skills. Right. They need to, again, I always say this thing. People don't like working people they don't like.
True.
So they need to like you. Right. So, yeah.
Which of the stages was more technical? Did they take home assignment bits?
Yeah, that was the technical bit.
Okay. What would you say one should do when it comes to interview? You know, you said it though. You are good with interviews.
So you didn't come interview
me? Yeah, so teach me. No, I'm not coming to interview. So, this guy. You know what? Yeah. Because this guy, if you come to the portfolio, they're asking a lot of questions. So on the interview side, right, how do I ace it? Maybe the very first, yours started with text. That one has to do with communicating via text and then being concise and then making sure they understand. That one, they know go fit teach the person. If I don't go see a brothel, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then it gets to the part where you're on the call with them and you're talking, right? How do you ease that? What makes you think you are good at it?
Because I'm very relaxed.
Okay.
Because I know someone will die.
Okay.
And there's nothing, what do I have to lose? Mm-hmm. You know you'll give me a job. Okay. That's not the end of the world. And so once you understand that, so I'm very relaxed. Because I know, see, I don't need a job. Like the job at the interview for, that is, it's not like I actually don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I tell myself. Yeah. I don't need this job.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So because I tell myself that I am relaxed, so I'm not in a hurry to impress you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying what I feel like I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it stands from that. And I go feel crack, like the way they do for, I go feel crack jokes. Like I talk to her crack jokes. Some people are too like
Fenchem.
Rigid.
If you don't understand Fenchem, it means Fenchem. So, yeah, like I can just crack jokes.
Oh, no.
And yeah, people are too like in their head. They feel like, oh, they have to be serious.
Okay,
a lot of time they are not looking for that
mm-hmm.
because they want to see if they can actually work with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So yeah, I'm just relaxed. Me and I talk, I vibe with you. Then things. If you ask me a question, I go answer. And I think last episode, if I don't know something, I don't know it. You know, if you kill me. Like that's what I keep telling myself. Like in not just interviews, like anything that I do, you know, if you kill me. Like, I won't die from this,
mm-hmm.
right? I'll be fine. Will it be embarrassing? Yes. But who embarrassment came? Yeah, like, because that used to hold me back a lot.
Mm.
And I realized that, I don't even know what happened. Yeah, I feel like, again, those turning points, the signal that played a huge part. It changed my mentality on a lot of things. Because before then, I used to be very quiet, laid back, mm-hmm. almost timid. And I realized, what do you
go for? You
be timid.
He's not going to be timid. Maybe that's not going to go.
As he talks, I'm like, and they try and get the part.
Well, okay. you don't experience that side of me.
Okay.
The cracking jokes and things part, right?
Mm-hmm.
You ever backfire before?
No, not necessarily. So you need to know the kind of jokes crack. For example, just recently I had an interview sort of. Then, they introduced the person to me, right? And I was like, your name sounds like Eastern. No, the person said you come from Zimbabwe or something. I said, it sounds Eastern African. He said, no, it's actually Southern African. I said, well, clearly my geography be off. Like,
right,
you
see,
yeah.
It know be something, some people go, oh shit. Like, first, they panic. I just crack jokes about it. If somebody do something, or if there's something obvious happening around, and it is sometimes pulling people's attention away from the interview you're having. Crack a joke. I don't know if you've seen this video where this guy was having an interview on BBC and then kids ran into the room. Then the guy pretend like nothing happened. Then his wife tried to pull the kids away. Then his wife fall down. Then everything was just awkward. You know that video?
You've not seen it before?
No. I go give Mr. Kamiki to one side.
Oh.
It was just so awkward. It was just so the guy do like nothing happened. He mixed stuff, he talk. When the kids come, he put the kids back. He wipes right into the room. It was so awkward. Like, make crack a joke about it.
Yeah.
Because they've seen it.
Yes.
So you pretending that it's not happening. It's not helping matters.
There was one where they were on a Zoom call, and I think the CEO was wearing shorts. Have you seen that one?
No, I
And then he left like a laptop this, he the workshop. So you forget when you walk away.
COVID era.
Yeah, during COVID. Where everybody see. As everybody see, just so it doesn't become awkward, the other people still 10-10. All of them were in shorts. And they were all laughing about it. I was like, wow.
Like, yeah. You just have to be relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, even the time I interview yourself, yeah. Me, like, I sense that a lot of people, every time they are interviewed, they are always
tense. Yeah, that one is true, yeah.
So me, I always try to help you
mm-hmm.
relax. Even if I see that you can't answer your question, mm-hmm. I always try and nudge you. Because there was this time, this guy did the work, mm-hmm. but he doesn't know how to explain it.
You've said this story before.
I then nudge him to the right place, make him talk what I want him to say, so that people, like, we'll the know room, will know, okay, this guy knows his shit. I don't know. I mean,
if you use stupid for Mike, we'll understand.
But yeah, just be relaxed. It's not the end of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. There are more opportunities. If you don't get that gig, it means that's not the right gig for you. There's another gig that will actually push you.
Are there generic questions that have come up in most of the interviews that you feel like people should always be prepared for?
Oh, yeah. Tell me about yourself. I mean, that's the... Because, I mean, you really interview people like volunteer. Me, I would...
That,
you know what
we for do. Yeah. My very first day, that's how they prepare. I go see all that. I say, that question is not the time for you to come and tell them.
Like, yeah, I mean, for product design,
mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, tell me about it. It's a standard question.
Mm-hmm.
But for product design, like, you have to craft it in that way. Tell people about how you started product design, your journey, what you're looking for in the next 3 to 5 years.
Okay.
Like the role you're looking to go into. So that one, you give the person a fair idea of mm-hmm. if you are fit for the long term vision
mm-hmm.
they have for that role. And then, what other thing? These things is difficult for me to say it off.
I want us to look at the technical bits of the interview, but then mm-hmm. do you have anything to add to what you said in terms of the interview and the acing it at the beginning stage?
Yeah, so don't make it feel like an interview.
It's a conversation.
It's a conversation. So you being relaxed kind of helps, because then if you're not relaxed, it's difficult to have like conversation with you because your mind don't make. So yeah, have a conversation with the person. Charlie, talk like how you talk to your friend, but then be smart about it. Like, you know, be some jokes be how you go make.
Exactly.
You know, like, be smart about it. Know how to. If you are not good at crafting jokes, you'll be fine. But then just have
true to yourself.
Yeah, just have that convo with. If you get questions, best questions. Like, I think talk to the person.
Don't wait till the end to ask questions.
That was one thing I learned from one of the episodes we recorded. So that interview I did with the company, he asked me the question. Answer finished. Question come up. I asked him, and they will answer. Like, they'll answer. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. you will just say they also want to, you know, let mm-hmm, you know mm-hmm. things about the company. So I want to be true.
So yeah, me that be what. Oh, they can't talk.
You also have to do your research about the company and who's going to interview as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because I'm guessing that by all means, maybe you get like a Google Meet invite with the person's name or something. Right,
so,
right now, then things be easy. Everyone is online.
Yeah,
so
true.
You can basically just pick their name and then find them. If you find them, you can check their social. Just like, that's happened to all of us.
Oh, yeah.
You jump on a call, then they start mentioning things on your socials and everything. Yeah. So you can also do the same thing about that person. Just so maybe at least like the first 2 minutes or whatever, you can just use as small banter before talk starts.
That's the first when I was interviewing at Hamtel,
mm-hmm.
and I go to the interview, like I catch the office, and there was this guy sitting next to me. It was at that point SRE,
mm-hmm.
so they really had a chance. Things that I assume because of maybe the way I research about the company, I know everything about Hamtel at that time. Yeah, I figured this guy didn't know. I was like, okay, cool. So I talked to her, I realized, I don't know something. I was like, do you know what the company actually does? Tech company, SMS. Like, you don't do research at all.
Yeah, that's not much, yeah.
Good luck, my nigga.
Yeah, because good luck, yeah, true.
Good luck, my nigga.
True.
Hey, I'm really sure, you know, guess, because I never see her for the company. So, I mean, like, it's things we might take for granted, but do your research.
Mm-hmm.
Know everything about the company. Like, really know and ask some of these questions. It wouldn't really matter at the end of the day when you get the job.
Yeah.
But it will show them
that you are interested.
You're interested in design, you know how to ask questions.
I've been in an interview where they asked me what I thought about your website before.
Mm-hmm.
I was so surprised. And luckily for me, I mean, that particular piece, I've forgotten what title, but we're talking about interviews. So luckily for me, before that, went on their website, go look at what then they do, their services, about all those things. Because now, if you didn't do it and they ask you, what do you think about our website?
That means you safe, because you know you don't go
to. Yeah.
And at that point, it feels like it's just they apply you for applying. Apply. Yeah, exactly. You are not really interested in what they are doing. So yes, sometimes maybe if you do something before where you still get a job, be lucky. Maybe probably then see something where, but then most times it just shows that you are not interested in what they are doing. Mm-hmm. So there's a hype, you might be good, but they were like, nah, even our website, you don't.
That's a basic. That's a most common entry points.
For whatever
you are. For whatever. Like you just said the company you are applying for. That one too, you know, no.
Yeah. That's like, I think the whole interview process is actually looking for two things.
Mm-hmm.
What you can do and the things you know about them.
Mm-hmm.
Like those are the two things that they're looking for. So once you're able to ace these two things, you get the job.
Mm.
Well, yeah. I mean, let me come talk something too. Okay, yeah, then. So interviewing is a skill, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like a muscle. And just like everyone, you have to exercise it to be good at it. All right. So me, what I tell people is like on a one-to-one level, apply for jobs, even if you have a job. Even if you know you are not going to take the offer in the end, apply for it.
Just to get your skills.
Right. So if you apply, if you don't get it, you can use that to evaluate yourself and see if this is where you're lacking.
Yeah,
but if you get it, just interview. Because it's a skill.
Mm-hmm.
And if you imagine you being in a company for 5 years, you've never interviewed and then you're out.
The next interview, you
are somewhere.
Yeah, true.
You'll make shit. Because you wouldn't know what to say. Even you're about yourself, you wouldn't know what to say.
True.
So just interview for interview's sake. It's a matter that you knew. I know there's a lot of employers where you are in our company going, go and sit down.
I actually see someone about this one. The guy they company, maybe like on LinkedIn, he posts, say he didn't look for a job, or maybe the LinkedIn banner he puts open to work.
Yeah,
or something.
That thing, yeah.
Instantly.
Like those companies, I don't understand them.
Bye-bye, Kofi. That'd be your...
Like they are putting you in these handcuffs. It's just a different conversation. They get on my nerves. But
whatever the case, if you could be open about it, at least not like the computer you're working for, then
the policies and everything. But I don't think it's a call to...
You have to be smart about it.
Yeah, that one, definitely.
Because... ideally, Seth, if you work with somebody, you think you are in for the long term, and you later realize the person they make plans behind your back, naturally you go feel some way. But then people take it to the extreme where they cut you off. So in the terms of like company, they'll be like, you know what, we're not gonna work with you again. That'd be petty gimme. Just know why as a good company, just know why the person, maybe probably be money wise. So then, if you really want to keep this person, then have that convo with that person. Okay, why are you looking for like open? You get. But then, I don't know. There's this rule in this industry where I don't know who is like taking charge of that particular thing. Where it's supposed to be like this. If it's not like this, you're not
too
strict
on how things are supposed to be done.
I said last year I made a post about the fact that why is it that most companies wait till you are leaving before it's either they give you a new offer if you are leaving their company.
Yeah, true.
They wait till you are almost and they give you a new offer, or they tell you they can't actually pay you this much, but then when they are hiring, they spend much more than even maintain you in their company. Because bear in mind that if they get a new employee, they need to train that employee to
the cost of hire.
Yes, be much more than that. And
just retain
that particular post, bro. The message I get for and having that combo with people made me realize that we are so caught up in the so-called "this is how it's supposed to be," but then we are not actually answering questions like, why are we not doing it different? Like, what's the actual reason why we can't do it this way? Do you get it? Because bear in mind, if you are losing a good talent and you know we actually need this person, you will have that convo with that person.
You do everything to keep
him. To keep him, right? But then if your reason is, maybe budget, but then at the end of the day, you are spending more
to get to a new person than keeping.
Then you actually lie because you have budget. Oh, yeah, that'd be how they look like. But
you have space for... finding a new person in your budget.
Yeah.
But paying the one you have more, then maybe to work politics.
Politics.
So much, yeah.
That's why I'm saying that sometimes there's this so-called like root thing that people are following, but then they are not being like, they know they ask them about that question, why would they do them this way? Or why is it like an industry standard to operate this way?
You set the standards.
Yes.
Maybe if they pay you, it could be so that if they pay you more, maybe you might be earning more than someone.
So I mean, what I know is that like every role level, there's a cap.
Yes. There's that.
So if you want to get more,
you have to
be promoted. Yeah. Or
yes.
That's why people tend to like move around in companies. So yeah, that's, I'm not sure why, but yeah. Every road there's a cap, so you need to move to get like open up that tier.
Yes. And some companies are actually truthful about that. They'll tell you, okay, you know, right now where you are, maybe we know like we can promote you, but then this is the highest you can hit.
Yeah.
And maybe at that point you hit that mark. So the awareness is either maybe probably then go squeezing on some certain benefits, right, to help you stay. But if it's still not okay for you, they'll just advise you to find another company.
Right.
Because at that point, they are not willing to.
You'll not be able to as well. Yeah.
Because bear in mind that if you break it, you have to start, like people will come for that particular thing. So now, Yaman said, if it is so, right, then you break and go so. Now people will be here, as far as they're not saying, now then if you hit this, them to them will start to hit that mark. Eventually, you will go bankrupt as a company. So, I understand that part too. But then I think sometimes some companies, they draw in that so-called policy thing.
Let me ask a question on this one. So, you hire somebody before?
Lead.
Oh, okay, cool. So, you ever get this situation where someone has applied for a job or they're asking for more money and you know that they are not there yet? How do you handle that conversation? Because maybe, two designers and their company.
Mm-hmm.
One person does more work, you know, maybe the same role, but then because of what that person is capable of doing or does, right, they earn more than the other designer.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then the other designer finds out and they come like, this. So they want more money. How do you handle that part?
So what I've noticed is during an interview the person finishes, the person mentioning asking price. The designer said, you put no one. As I won't mention here.
Whisper. No problem.
Hey, forget say Mike, we wear Mike.
You don't go back.
Yeah, but I will talk about after here. And the company to you will say,
you don't make it talk, make it talk.
Person talking, listening, or everybody say, okay, cool, left. Later on, then they laugh him. They love the guy. Say, you think you are the guy who asked for this money? I told me, I've witnessed that thing before. And I also kind of experienced it when like you're in a team and you just kind of say, oh, sorry, I'm actually not earning that much like I thought I was.
Mm-hmm.
And you go and ask for more.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I actually do that before. But then, again, a lot of the culture in the company plays a key role.
Yeah,
because, I won't go into it that much deeply, but basically, if you're asking for all this thing, don't just ask for asking sake, or don't just ask because you feel like someone in a team
is.
You need to back it.
Of course.
Back it with what you've done.
Exactly.
The value you've provided and why you think you deserve this money. If it makes sense, then go do for you.
Well, for the first part, when I tell you that. So the place I was working before, normally what happens is they let the lead know the budget for that role. That's one.
Okay.
So when I'm interviewing the person mentioned, yes, people mention figures that you know that this person will not go for. You just let them know what the budget is for that particular role. Okay. For this particular role. And I think I've been in that position before. Okay, this particular role, this will be the budget, so we don't go for pay. I don't think you should tell the person, maybe if you can, me, I won't come and say, oh, Charlie, your skill set, the money you're asking for there. In case they love the person.
Yeah, I wasn't part of it. No, sorry, I wasn't part. Then I left. Oh, I come back and they laugh. I said,
So I let the people know that this is the budget for. Because sometimes they want a beginner total. Sometimes they want someone who is this. Because I remember we had designers from Nigeria, some in Ghana, some in Kenya, and all that. And they were not all being paid the same. based on their skill set, but this particular, and I was not the person, only person, other managers were on the call, but I was like the one doing that. And for the part where I was asking for a raise, like someone said, you don't just go and ask for a raise because this person is earning this amount. And I remember the point where I asked for a raise, I think I asked for 50%, I got 25%. And their reason was they cannot afford the 50% because of what was the total. But then I asked it because of the workload at that point, right? First, I was the only designer. We gave me design, we're coming free. Now you can't make me lead. Handling a design team with maybe, I think we're 3 UI guys. Then you have 3D guys, minimum 3D, the motion graphics. So now the workload became plain, not just designing and managing. So I had a reason to now ask for that, you know.
That's nice.
Yeah, increase. All right, I mean, still on interview. One more question on the technical bit.
Whatever you want to
ask. Yeah, on the technical bit. How do I, or how do I prepare for that part? Because you, they gave you take home. Mm-hmm. Me, I've never got that before. And I don't know if it's standard across every place that maybe they give you take home. Definitely differs, right? But then at the point where they give you take home, how do you go about that?
Yeah, so take home assignments, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the companies or the hiring managers or whoever is hiring is be to assess how you work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so you basically need to apply your process there.
Okay.
That's what I realized. So me, I've done 2 take home assignments so far. I mean, what I'll do, I'll ask you questions.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty. Yeah, maybe sounds sad. I kind of one where I am now. I call the guy, it's the CTO. I call him one Saturday. I tell him, what's up? This thing, I really understand. What did he mean? This, blah, blah, blah. I mean, like initially, I didn't want to say it because he felt like, okay, take home assignments.
You're a baby.
Right, because that's how I work.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't work without clarity. And even the one I mentioned that I went through 5 or 6.
Yeah,
I went through the. I asked a lot of questions, take home, and I got to the point where I realized I wasn't getting a lot of information. So I told them that I don't have information I need to work on this. So I want to work on this. So I'm declining
the offer.
Not the offer. At that point,
they assignment.
Okay,
I'm declining the whole interview process. Mm. So I don't
just want because of the assignment.
No, just I don't have the clarity I need to work on. this thing, but then he get back to me and say, oh, he would like me to
do that. Okay.
He give me more information and everything. Yeah, I do everything. Yeah, I mean, obviously, ended well, right? So, me just apply a process.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have the finished thing,
mm-hmm.
but be able to walk them through your thoughts. A lot of them don't expect the finished thing, like, what do you expect you to go and build an entire app in 2 days? Like, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah.
You just want to see your process. Well, if it's their design culture, they, right? You understand it. It's not like I just give you take home because they want to give you take home. Right. So if you just communicate with them, don't leave them in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 1 week. And then on the final day, you submit it. And then voila, magic. Like, they are not part of the process, so they don't really care about the work you've done.
Mm-hmm.
But if you involve them, you ask them questions every day. You ask them every day. Whatever, even if you think it's silly, ask them and go respond. You use what you have to create the other thing. And so if you are presented to them, keep saying, based on what you gave me, this is what this I did.
Okay.
And I did this because of this thing you said, and this thing you said, and based on this assumption that I had from the data I gathered, this is what I did. They are more in tune with the process because they know like the work you put in.
Yeah.
And they can appreciate it more in the bar. So yeah, but take home there. I feel like that's the only trick. Or that's the main trick I use.
Okay. I've seen people say that some companies use that as to take advantage of people.
Yeah.
How do I spot that?
So, well, I can't really say how to spot that. But I mean, one way to spot that if they use something related to
their product.
Or their product.
So that means that usually it's not related to their...
Yeah. But most of the time, a lot of companies, you know, like they are, because they don't really know better on how to go about it. So it's not like they are doing it because they don't take advantage. Because a lot of the time, the things you do, it's not better than the people they have there.
Okay.
Right? For example, the login screen you did, it's not anything more than what they have there. Right? But one way to know that the company actually means business or they know what they are doing, mm-hmm. is if they give you something entirely different.
Okay.
something is not connected to their product at all. So maybe is it the independent one? What they give you?
It'd be some restaurant thing.
See, it's not connected.
Not connected.
Exactly. So it's something different. So go work on bring and see. But so like that's one way to know. But as to whether they'll take advantage of you, you never really know for sure. Because they might give you something connected to their product, but they don't really, they just want to see your skills and your thought process. So yeah.
Do you have anything to add to the whole technical bit of the interview?
Not really, because most of my interviews are just conversations. I haven't even done take home before.
They don't give you take home for that. Oh, that one they can do for the end.
That one be there.
Hey!
Take it.
That one, you see the view, I'm hot.
Yeah, that's zero.
Yeah.
And they were on you.
Nah.
Then, you go forget everything now.
Then let's go put you for some room, then left you. Then yeah, you go deliver them hot.
They put the wicked
up. Oh, then I don't deserve
it. Oh. Now they are still cold.
You do take home before on the technical part.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So, like Sam said, depending on the take home you get.
Mm.
For ADP, then it'd be more on the assumption end where you try to, like whatever assumptions you are making, you need to let them know. In the process. So if they design give something, and if give your assumptions on why they go this route and not this route. So it's basically you trying to put constraints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So say you go feed deliver something, you they get. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And there's the part where that one then go give you. So one be that one it be redesign.
Mm-hmm.
So it be one screen, you
know?
Do the redesign for just the screen.
Mm-hmm.
You they get. They no give any context as in, okay, this page be they get this be there. Like users they struggle with this, then just
so still based so on
that assumption. One it was mainly about your visuals. Like they were trying to look at how are they structure things because the page then give me, then I see a lot of hierarchy issues, like inconsistencies. So at that point it was me, they were trying to see my visual skill at that point. So that one I do give them. I said, you need to understand why you are doing certain things. So that call, but people get attention to detail. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
People take it to this level. The CEO can be designer. Everything from top to down, you rep them like you didn't know everything or whatever.
You
like
did.
Questions you get for what I do. So the review, you pick one. Okay, this nav, why you do them? So why you choose this color? Why this one day?
Wow.
Everything, bro. Some of them, like I said, because I understand my fundamentals, right? And also how to yop, because you for know how them they talk. Some of them, I don't really, like when I was doing it, I wasn't really thinking like this beat. But he based that I know how to answer.
You to answer,
question.
True.
And I know my way around. That brought me to again. I just know my way around having a question. If it's design, you don't want me to explain something. I have a way of answering that question. Although probably when I was doing it, I wasn't really paying attention. But then if you expect all of a sudden, I just didn't make the connections and give you the it makes sense. So that was what I did. And Charlie, that be mainly it. For the technical, it's either they are mainly testing you on one particular skill, right?
Mm-hmm.
Be it your analytical, your visuals, or maybe how you think, your thought process. So just know what they want. You know what they want by the type of like
questions.
Then you find a way around it.
I mean, one more thing. This one just hints in one answer, then we wrap up on portfolio, right? Definitely, they'll look at case studies and all that, your portfolio. You design portfolio, redesign. But yeah, how do I tackle that part of it?
I mean, we can't cover everything on this course, so probably we need to have another episode for portfolio building. But then, just know the type of company you are applying to.
Mm-hmm.
Then tailor your portfolio to that.
for me, when I was starting out, I wasn't really paying attention to that. Maybe just my designs I do, then I create them, send Givi. And at that time, my Behance, then I didn't use. So then I just go pick my Behance, put for it. And sometimes it's funny how that Behance, then it get me gigs. Like,
yeah,
it get me gigs. So that's where my thinking around portfolio, like websites, these things, started to change. Because then I noticed that it's not really about where your portfolio is, but then the content in your portfolio inside. So if you are going for a company where it be the visuals, then they need that. Your portfolio show that.
Show more of it.
Yes.
Okay.
If it's the research bits, then they need, or your thought process, show that more. And also show the skill you are stronger.
Okay.
Make you not go show interaction. No, you are not really strong at that, but because the company needs you, they should eventually, Charlie, then go hire you, then you they do some. Hello, hello. Just know your strength, show that more, tailor it towards with like whatever company you are applying to, and you stand a better chance of getting.
That sounds like an advert.
All right, but definitely we need to talk about this, like
because the way they design portfolio pretty.
All right, Charlie, no advice, because Sam go talk say everything we talk, you don't get advice.
If you don't listen to Adebeg, go back.
Rewind to the beginning. Charlie,
please subscribe. We beg you, people.
Yes,
99%.
2 million.
I've not subscribed, so I beg you, subscribe. We are almost at 1,000 subs. It's more subscribing.
Yeah, let's hit 1K.
And this episode, we had Sam. Hey.
Mike.
What be the China
guy. Mokiyatsu.
Mokiyatsu. The China guy. Zoom him on in this. China guy.
Give them. Good.
See the way they sit.
Tell
you guys. We'll catch you in the next one.
All
right.
Bye.
You open Twitter. You take your phone. Swipe. Open Twitter, tap the Twitter thing, go and tap on that plus thing, write whatever it is you want to write before you tap on post.
That's a lot of process coming to say, it's not your connected to you. So much.